Thank you, moderator, and thank you for the to the organizers for giving Antad an opportunity to participate in this very interesting discussion. As you mentioned, I work in the Secretariat of the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, that is a major international agency, or it's actually part of the Secretariat of the United Nations proper, that has a mandate to work on the interrelated topics of trade, investment, finance, and technology from the point of view of supporting the development-oriented integration of developing countries in the global economy. So as part of that mandate, my team focuses on supporting technology and innovation policy in the member states with a focus on mobilizing or harnessing technology and innovation to advance progress in the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. And as part of that work, in addition to technical cooperation activities supporting policymakers in developing countries, we publish periodically more analytical reports that look into specific innovation policy questions. And this year we have published a report looking at the opportunities that are being generated for emerging and developing economies in the area of green technologies. And these opportunities emerge from the interaction of two sets of technologies. One is the group of technologies that one can broadly classify under the notion of digital technologies, things like big data, artificial intelligence, 5G, 3D printing, and so on and so forth. And on the other hand, green technologies, mainly in the area of energy, renewable energy technologies. And some of them are relatively established or mature, like biogas, or to some extent solar photovoltaic, and others are more in the emerging stage, like green hydrogen. And some are in a somewhat intermediate position, like, for example, electric vehicles. So we have been looking at the interaction between these frontier techs in these both sectors, and have come to the conclusion that there is we are going through the very early stages of a new wave of technological change, of deep technological change, and this is a moment when some windows of opportunity are created, that countries that react quickly and strongly can take advantage of, and that, on the contrary, countries that don't do that risk staying behind and suffer severe disadvantages for a long time to come. And it is also interesting that this is happening at a moment when countries are trying to find strategies to deal with the cascading crises that we are confronted in the aftermath of COVID. COVID has not disappeared completely, it's still there in some regards, and we are also dealing with the aftermath in terms of inflation, in terms of the food security crisis that some countries are confronted with. Of course, we have war in Europe and in other regions of the world. So how do we respond to this cascading crisis? And at the same time, how do we deal with that in a context where the climate crisis creates some constraints? Countries cannot grow following the same patterns of very carbon-intensive growth that they were following in the past. The conclusion that we have reached is that it is possible, indeed is desirable, for countries to embark on this green technological revolution, because it will enable them not only to become more competitive, to diversify their economies, to be more productive, but also to do that with a much lower carbon footprint that they would have been producing if they don't do that. Now, what is the main message that we, or the three main messages that we derive from this conclusions or from this analysis? The first one is that we need strong policy responses from the countries. The windows of opportunity are generated by the combination of two factors. One is the existence of favorable preconditions in a country. For example, if you have many hours of sun radiation, solar radiation in your country, or you have strong winds, you enjoy some clear favorable preconditions for green hydrogen development, because you can have very cheap renewable electricity. But that's not enough. Having strong preconditions without a strong policy response is insufficient. On the other hand, even in the presence of weak preconditions, countries with an early response and a strong response can overcome those initial difficulties. And we have examples in our report of countries where, for example, the case of Thailand dealing with biogas, where the conditions were not really present, but a very decisive action by the government could actually result in the successful deployment of that technology. So strong policy response is the first message. The second message that we present to our members is that the majority of emerging and developing countries do not have the technological capabilities that are needed to fully exploit the green windows of opportunity that they may be facing. They need international support, and we present a few policy strategies that the international community can follow to support developing countries and emerging economies in this regard. And maybe later on during the discussion we can go into a little more detail about that. And the third message, and again we come to the question of strong policy responses, the third message that we insist on is that countries need both urgency and agency. Urgency meaning that they need to act quickly, because these windows of opportunity are available only for a short period of time. After maybe 2-3 years, maybe a little more, but definitely not a very long period, some early entrants into this technology will have established their advantage, and it would be very difficult for latecomers to overcome those advantages. And then economies of scale start playing their role, and it really becomes very difficult for new entrants to join the development of this technology. So urgency is very, very important. The second element is agency, that you need to take action, you need to be proactive. And you need to be proactive in several directions. One is to invest in green technologies. Re-examine the priorities in your research investment. Maybe you are investing in technologies or in areas of scientific research that were important a few years ago, but whose relevance is not anymore there. So re-examine priorities and invest accordingly. The second, strengthen your ICT capabilities, your ICT infrastructure, but also the human capital. People need to be trained in things like data management, statistics, mathematics, and science in general are important areas where many countries lack the human resources. So invest in strengthening your human skills in these areas. And the third point, and it's a very, very important one, is align your energy, your industrial, and your innovation policies. You cannot afford to have three different policy communities in this sector. You really need to get these people speaking to each other and align these three important policies: industrial, energy, and innovation policies. These are our three main messages, and I hope that we will have more time later on to go into some more details. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Of course, the